You are listening to the Toxic Mold Podcast with Steve Worsley, the toxic mold expert and your number one source for mold consulting and mitigation in the USA. Let's dive into a brand new episode. Before we get started on this episode, here's a not so short disclaimer. While all attempts have been made to verify the content provided in this podcast, neither the podcaster or the producers assume any responsibility for errors, omissions, or alternative interpretations of the issues discussed here. All information stated in this podcast is the opinion of Steve Worsley. Steve Worsley is a mold specialist with over 25 years of experience in the construction and mold industry. The Toxic Mold Podcast is for information sharing purposes only. The views expressed are those of the podcaster and his alone. These views should not be taken as expert instruction or commands. While there may be references to medical conditions and symptoms, all podcast episodes are the opinion of Steve Worsley, and any medical questions or concerns shall be addressed with the appropriate licensed medical professional or professionals. As the podcaster refers to different mold types, please be aware that Steve Worsley is not a microbiologist, and questions concerning mold specifics should be answered by the appropriate professional. Steve isn't, nor does he offer any legal advice. For any legal advice, you must speak with a lawyer. The listener is 100% responsible for his or her own actions. You can check out Steve's books on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and search for author Steve Worsley. You can also take Steve's courses on Udemy or Skillshare, and you can find out more about those at cnccontractorservices.com. Now, let's get to the episode.
Hello, you're listening to the Toxic Mold Podcast with myself, Steve Worsley, and I have my wife again, Cassandra. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Just another day in paradise.
Yes, it is.
That's what they tell me, so I seem to believe it.
Yes, except when paradise is tundra and it's still snowing even in April.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is when you live out here in the West, and it's the wild, wild West. That includes the weather.
That's true.
All right, so today's episode is 254, and today we're going to talk about something that I just had an experience with this last week, and that is new construction and mold. Have you ever heard of new construction and mold?
Yes, you did write a book on how to build a mold-resistant home. Was that the title?
Yes.
And in that, you talked at length about why mold is such an important consideration, even for new construction, and especially new construction. So in that book, you went into details about this.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people just don't think. I don't know why. They just don't think a new home can have mold. And it's just like radon. I mean, mold doesn't discriminate, neither does radon, whether it's going to be in a new home or an old home. So,
well, and doesn't it connect to the habits, though, too? I mean, when we talk about mold in a currently existing home, you talk a lot about the habits that people are doing that then create opportunities for moisture intrusion, that then create opportunities for mold to be fed and grow and toxigenic colonies grow. I think what people don't put together is that if your contractor is building you a home and they have really bad habits, or they're using materials that already have mold on them, your home is being built with mold, toxigenic mold embedded in it.
Yeah, it's so going to the habits thing. You know, a lot of people, their habits, long hot showers, kids that splash around in a tub, people that make a massive mess when they're doing the dishes. Like, there's a bunch of habits that people can have that will contribute to it. Whereas, you know, when we talk about new construction, it's interesting you say what you just said, because I've had contractors say numerous times to me, and this happened on this project too, well, the lumberyard delivers moldy materials. And it's like, okay, what is that? I mean, so yeah. You still just install it?
Exactly. What's your standard?
Exactly. Like, send it back.
Well, and I mean, for listeners who might be, this is the first episode they're listening to of the Toxic Mold Podcast, it might be helpful for you to explain that you are a former general contractor.
Yeah, I'm actually still a licensed contractor. Wyoming's a bit different. Most states like Utah, you get what's called a B-100. It's a general contractor's license. You're licensed throughout the entire state. Whereas Wyoming, there's towns you don't even have to be licensed. And there's towns that you have to have it. I don't have to have it for what we do. two, but I am licensed. I think actually in three different cities, which I just carry it just because. But yeah, years and years and years ago, back in 94, I started my career working for my uncle as a general contractor building homes.
And then going out on your own.
Yeah, then building. I had a partnership.
Yeah. And so you've actually built homes, I think, is an important point. Something to point out, including your own home previously.
Yes. Yeah, I've built, I don't know how many homes I've built, a lot. And I don't want our listeners to think that I build hundreds or have built hundreds or we do four or five a year. That's not the case. Obviously, that's not what we do now. But yeah, I've done it. And there's a lot that changes over time. You know, there's a lot of newer things. A lot of people put sprinkler systems in, you know, low voltage stuff for surround sound. Central vac was around way back when I first started building. But yeah, I've done it. And it doesn't mean I know everything, but I understand how it works too.
Well, but I also think it's important to really hit home on that, because sometimes a person might listen to a podcast episode like this and they think, oh, all mold experts that I call in to my new construction should know what Steve knows. And I think that's really, I want to be super clear that you've built homes, so you have the general contractor experience. You were a home inspector, so you have the home inspection experience, and you're a mold expert. So those lenses will give you a totally different mold investigation than somebody who has none of the other stuff.
Yeah. And you know, typically when I ask general contractors questions, you know, just to be clear, and we'll talk about it more at the end, but I offer new build consultations. And you know, there's a lot behind it. The pricing varies for everybody. But part of that is saying things like, well, you know, what's the water table? Do we need a sump pump or sump system? Do we need a drain tile system? You know, there's things that as a general contractor, previous general contractor, that I understand the consequences of not dealing with certain issues, knowing that it'll cause mold. So it does help. I mean, I think it's a huge advantage for our clients that do the consultation packages. But on the other hand, when I'm standing there talking to, you know, the site foreman, superintendent, or even the owners, the general contractors themselves, Like I said, I don't want to come across like I don't know everything. I haven't built a new home myself for several years, but I understand the terminology and I understand how it really works. Some contractors are different, just like we all are different as people, but some think they can bamboozle their client, the homeowner, new homeowner. Whereas if I'm standing there, it's like, no, that's not how that works. Like when something like that gets said, like, well, you know, grading's not that important, or a sump pit's not that big a deal, or we get moldy lumber from the lumber yard. I mean, I can look at them and be like, yeah, that's why we would send it back.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the biggest, being a layperson, I think that when people hire contractors to build a brand new home, they assume the contractor is looking out for their best interest and the contractor is not going to use wood with mold growing on it, that the contractor is going to do proper grading and drainage, that the contractor, if there is, you know, a water table issue, they're going to put in a sump pump or tell the own, you know, the home buyers that, hey, you need this, this, and this. We need to change plans.
Right.
But in your experience, have you found that to be the case with new home construction?
It depends. I don't want to take shots at general contractors, but for the most part, I do believe a lot of them, they're not dishonest. They're honest general contractors. But on the other hand, you're going to have some that aren't. They just want to close on the home and get their money and go. There's a home inspector I follow down in Arizona, and he only does new construction. And the problems that he finds is just like, you scratch your head and you're like, wow, really? And the contractors, you know, he posts videos and he has one video, the contractor's like, well, we're all humans, we make mistakes. And it's like, well, yeah, but I'm paying for a new home. That's kind of what I expect. So to answer your question, I think the best politically correct way to answer that is, for our listeners, you should have a third party that looks out for your best interest. Because, and I'm not saying you have a bad contractor, but as a third party consultant, I view it a lot different than the contractor does. I'm not trying to get to the close, or we have deadlines or whatever, and then so I can get my paycheck. Like, I'm there as a third party consultant. In my opinion, I'm protecting the client.
Absolutely.
So to answer your question, yeah, there's a lot of bad contractors out there. There's a lot of good ones.
Well, but what are some of the, I guess what I'm looking for is when I see homes being built starting in November, and then if I drive by in January, there's wood exposed because the house isn't necessarily dried in. So all of that wood everywhere on this house, and it snowed 10 times. And I'm like, the wood has gotten wet. I mean, these are like mold issues just festering.
Yeah.
What do you think listeners should be on the lookout for if they're currently in the process of building a new home? Is that a concern for them when the wood is exposed to the snow and the rain? And I mean,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's how mold starts, is with moisture. The problem I have with that, a lot of contractors would tell you, well, it's going to dry out before we dry it in, or after we dry it in, it gets dried out. Most building materials are not designed to get wet. So when that happens, you're going to have mold issues. And on top of that, just think about, you know, like a subfloor or OSB sheeting, you know, that kind of stuff, which is what a subroof is. It is, it's not, I wouldn't say it's really porous like sheetrock or insulation, but it is porous. It's not completely sealed. Well, when it gets wet, it'll start to bow and buckle. So in my opinion, and you know, one thing our listeners have to understand, in Wyoming and Utah, starting a home in November probably is not a good idea. Now, if you were to pour the foundation and get it poured before the deep freeze, in my opinion, that, you know, that could be acceptable. And I say could, just depending on other factors. But if you're starting in November, December, January, and then when the foundation's done, you're going to start framing, in my opinion, that's probably not the best time of year. Now, if you're in Arizona, that's probably a good time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So all of it really depends on where you're at. Or you need to consider too, though, like Arizona, they have their monsoon seasons, and I don't know when it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're starting to do the rough framing during that period where it's monsoon season, hurricane season, winter time, it's probably not a good idea. But on the other hand, the contractors listening to me are like, well, Steve, when are we supposed to start? Like, I get it. You're going to have to deal with the weather.
But is this also why, and especially because you've been a contractor and you've built homes, this is why as a layperson, I'm like, I'm going to babysit that new home construction process. I'm going to be on site watching the contractor and all of the subcontractors because I want to make sure they're doing the right thing. But if I don't know anything about what the right thing for mold is, then I'm not helping myself either, am I?
No. And I mean, the thing is, and we talk about it all the time, you know, Facebook posts, emails, this podcast, mold needs moisture. And if you're literally putting a home up or constructing a home in the middle of the wet season, you're going to have mold situations. And it's hard because I get it. You're under contract with a contractor. You have a contractor saying, I get called every name in the book. I'm used to it. Doesn't matter to me. But they're saying, oh, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just a mold guy, or that's just a home inspector. You know, you kind of trust your general contractor because they are a general contractor. But sometimes you can't always just trust them. And keep this in mind too. The general contractor, for the most part, the one that really probably has the most knowledge, is not always there.
Yeah. So how do you, but I guess that's what, to me, what makes new home construction and mold so complicated, meaning you've provided in previous episodes a list of things to look out for in terms of a mold infestation in a currently existing house with walls and doors and all the things. How does somebody who's in the process of building a new home look out for telltale signs that mold toxicity might be an issue in a house that doesn't have doors and windows and floors and, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you like you said, you kind of have to show up and babysit, honestly. Well, for the most part, you don't have power there. You don't have Wi-Fi. So installing gadgets, which we're going to talk about next week, installing like humidity gauges in a crawl space that are Bluetooth to your phone is probably not very likely that you're going to be able to do that. So you literally do have to show up and babysit.
But what are you looking for? I mean, obviously hiring a mold professional to me is the key thing. But let's say I haven't hired a mold professional, but I want to be on the lookout for any possible mold, toxic mold issues. What am I looking for on new construction?
Oh, so you would look for obviously visible mold.
Okay.
You can tell, like if it has a crawl space, like make sure that crawl space has a vapor barrier. If they're set in floor joists and subfloor and framing, and that crawl space and, you know, moisture is going to get in there, if they don't have a vapor barrier, you're going to start having issues. You can look for discoloration. When wood gets wet, it typically turns to a blackish color. But keep this in mind, too. There's a big difference between discoloration and mold.
Okay.
So, you know, like the situation I dealt with, the general contractor pointed to what he thought was discoloration. I was pretty sure it was discoloration, and asked me, like, so for mold remediation, would you recommend going through all these steps and sanding that and all that? Yeah. Like, even if we know it's not mold, the discoloration's there. It takes you 10 minutes to address it. You might as well. But for our listeners, you know, you should be able to, if there's a crawl space, there would be a musty smell. Like, go down in there and look around. Ask the contractor, hey, at what point do you put the vapor barrier down? Like, and like, I get it. If I'm a general contractor, I don't want some third party guy coming out on site, or gal, could be a woman too, that's overseeing everything and picking apart what I'm doing. But on the other hand, if I'm doing things right, I shouldn't be worried. So you got to keep that in mind too for our listeners. Like, they are general contractors. They should know what they're doing. But on the other hand, if you keep seeing signs, you know, the more you get into the construction and the more you're like, well, why didn't you do this? Or why didn't you do that? That might be a flag to you that you have to babysit them a lot more often than you think you should.
Are there critical points where for sure you need, it's best to bring in a mold expert if you're going to bring in one on new home construction? Like, what are those critical moments where it saves you time, money, and illness to bring in a mold expert on a new construction?
If you don't do a whole consultation package, is that what you mean? Like, I know for us, if you do a consultation package, we're involved from the get-go. So
is that your recommendation? Meaning, don't wait till you suspect a mold problem with new home construction. Bring a mold expert in, like, before whatever.
Or a consultant. Somebody.
Okay.
Like, but obviously I'm a bit biased. I'm a mold guy. So, but as far as, I think what you're asking is, you know, are there crucial parts in the building process?
Yes.
To me, you know, for sure, there's certain parts that you should come in and inspect. And one of the most important step or parts in the process is before they put insulation and sheetrock up. You need to get somebody in there, even if it's a home inspector, get them in there to do a full inspection. Whether it's dried in yet or not, that might dictate some of the stuff you see. But before they do that, insulation and sheetrock, you should see.
Like, before they cover it up. So before they put the floor on, before they put the sheetrock on, you need to have the subfloor inspected, the wood.
Yeah, all the wood framing, all the subroof, everything. So you can see all that. You can see, once again, if it's not dried in, you have to expect that there's going to be some sort of moisture intrusion. But if that's the case, you should go in there and let's just say you see up here in this corner, there's moisture coming in. It's because it's not dried in yet. You need to make sure you come back once it's dried in and look at it with an infrared camera, with a moisture meter, all that stuff before they insulate. Because once they insulate, even before they sheetrock, once insulation's in, you can't see it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
And so after the rough framing's done, so that would mean that all the walls are up, the Tyvek should be on the exterior walls, the roof is on, doesn't necessarily have to have the final roofing material, whether it's shingles or a metal roof, but for the most part, it's partially dried in. You should be coming in at that point and checking up on it.
Okay. So literally, but there are key junctures. Are there, I mean, you mentioned crawl space, make sure it has a vapor barrier. Are there any other defects or the contractor not doing stuff with new home construction that's a red flag for the homeowner?
Well, something like Tyvek, which is a house wrap, if they're not putting house wrap on before they put windows in, that's a red flag.
Okay.
You don't do house wrap after windows and doors.
Okay.
And we're talking exterior, obviously. Most people obviously know windows are on the outside, but what I mean by doors is just the exterior doors. Mm-hmm. That house wrap should be on. And, you know, there'll be several things that you'll have to look at, but like even the grading and drainage, you know, something like that isn't finished till later on. Well, if you have this hole, and this is typically how it happens, you have this gap between the foundation and then the dirt that's there. If it's full of water and they decide to backfill it, like, that's not good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's certain things you need to be watching for throughout the entire process. But that's why, even if you don't get a so-called consultant, hire a home inspector to come out. It's totally worth the $400 or $500 each trip that they take. You know, I know for me, for what we charge, we're there for numerous hours. It's not just an hour or two. So for our listeners, pay somebody to go out there and look at it. Don't fall into the trap, though, from the contractor saying, well, we have a city inspector or a code inspector. Well, that code inspector didn't catch anything with code violations until after mold was there. Do you see the irony in all that?
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's a... For me, and once again, I sound biased because I am a consultant, but for me, it's a no-brainer. Get somebody on board, even if it's your uncle that's a contractor, retired, or whatever.
Well, so I hear exactly what you're saying, but then I also know that some people would be like, oh, okay, so I can just get any Joe Schmo home inspector, pay them $100 to come look for mold. Explain to the audience in terms of, like, what's the difference between what a cheap inspection from a home inspector looks like on new construction versus the new home construction consults you offer? How are they different?
Well, a home inspector's probably, and I'm not saying this about all of them, but most of them we call generalists. So they're just a general inspector. Their job's kind of like a GP. Their job's to find issues and then recommend the experts. If you get an expert on board from the get-go, then you have that. So, you know, I would just check and see, like, you know, what experience do you have in construction? Even a home inspector that's done it for 15 years, they might not know anything about mold. You know, make sure you're getting the right person. And, you know, you mentioned $100. If somebody's going to come do it for $100, I mean, that to me, that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, you get what you pay for.
Exactly. It's if you want the cheap person, that's what you're going
to
get.
So then when somebody decides to do a new home construction consult with CNC Contractor Services, what can they expect?
So we want to get involved right at the get-go. When I say get-go, you know you're going to build. I would prefer to be involved in, you know, how do you choose the contractor? Obviously, we don't know who the good contractors are and the bad ones. Some that are good aren't really that good once you look behind the curtains. But preferably, we get involved right from the get-go, and then we help them decide on the contractor. Then we start looking at blueprints. We start asking questions like, have we done a soils test? We consult with our clients, like, what type of foundation should you build? You know, what type of roof covering should you have? You know, those are conversations we have with their budget and, you know, what you can do to make sure you put mold-resistant things in place, which you can do a lot of stuff in the new build process to make sure you do not have mold issues. Now, does that mean you'll never have a mold concern? No, you'll always have mold concerns, but we'll walk them through the entire process. For those that are not in Wyoming or Utah, we do the VPAs. And so literally the VPA is the replacement for me being on site. But a normal new build construction is about 6 to 7 site visits. And like I said, if this person's in New York, we're doing it with a VPA. And more or less, we help walk them through the schedule, which your contractor's going to get. We say, okay, at this point, right before it's all dried in or right after it's all dried in, we want to do a VPA or a site visit. You know, you want to do a final before you close site visit. We recommend, you know, the different types of testing. If it's a crawl space, we recommend whatever based on if it's a condition crawl space, which most contractors are doing these days. And I guess my point is we're there with them through the whole process.
Okay.
But, you know, if you're going to bring us on as a new build or for consults, keep in mind we're working for you. So we're not going to call the contractor when you have issues. We work with you. It's up to our client to go to the contractor. We're not the middle person because we're not working for the contractor.
That makes a lot of sense. So what is your call to action for people?
To always get inspections, even if the home is brand new.
Okay. Like,
and even if, and what I mean by, even if you didn't go through the construction process, hire a home inspector. Obviously, I'm a bit biased, but hire someone like myself that's a specialist in mold. Now, once again, not every mold specialist was a home inspector, but I am a certified home inspector, certified mold inspector. So, you know, we can cover both sides of that. And then, you know, we obviously not require, but we recommend different types of tests, like a radon test, mold testing, stuff like that. So make sure, even if you're just buying a brand new home, it's already built, don't just assume because it's brand new that everything's fine because it passed all the codes, inspections.
Absolutely. So, and also, I mean, you've gotten this question via people reaching out to you via email. Do you travel? Are you willing to travel to do something like the new home construction consultation package?
We do if they want to pay.
Yeah.
Now, if you're building a new home in Arizona, it's probably, or Florida, coming from Wyoming or Utah, it's probably going to be very expensive. But if our clients want to pay us to fly out there, obviously we would. But for those of our listeners that are in Utah and Wyoming.
Or Idaho.
Yeah. Depending on where we're at, you know, just reach out to me and just say, hey, you know, what can you do for us? Even if they're partially through the construction process, maybe our listeners are right at the end and they can't quite afford to fly us out there. We can do a VPA. We can do it virtually. And obviously our number one recommendation would be to do it on site. But even with a VPA, you can catch a lot more things than most people think.
Okay. So we'll travel. If the price is right.
Yeah, exactly. And just reach out to us, info@cnccontractorservices.com. Just reach out and we'll tell you, you know, if you're in Nebraska, we'll tell you how much it would cost you for every visit. And if you can afford it, so be it. If you can't, maybe we can look at a VPA.
Yes. And if you're in Scotland, a VPA is probably best.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't travel out of the country. So, all right. Well, thank you for listening. Today was episode 254. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Make sure you go to our website at cnccontractorservices.com and sign up for the mold investigation checklist. Again, go to cnccontractorservices.com and get your free mold investigation checklist today. You can also on cnccontractorservices.com find out more about Steve's courses and books and consultations. Once again, go to cnccontractorservices.com.